I want to do one other thing before I just get into the message this morning. You know, we're all super excited about tomorrow. I mean, it's a great day in this nation. But listen, our diligence, God wants us to remind ourselves that being diligent to seek His face, to be a doer of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the church has done it for, I think the church has done it for 4 years, has really got serious after the last election. Whatever, you know, I don't know exactly how to describe all that, but you know, it was a mess. But I'm going to tell you what, had that not happened the way it did, we would not have the awakening I don't think that we have today in this nation. And God sees the whole picture. And Dennis reminded me that the other day. He said, you know, sometimes we're places and in situations and circumstances that we're like, God, why are we here? I have been diligent to pray. I've been a giver. I've even loved on people I didn't want to love. I've done all kind of things, Lord. But God, Dennis said, Rusty, God sees the whole picture. And He knows where He's going to need us and when He's going to need us there and what things have got to line up to fulfill the destiny that just think that He formed for each one of us before the foundations of the world, before He formed us in our mother's womb. He knew we'd be here this morning. He knew we'd be watching President Trump get sworn in tomorrow. Man, just all those things come together, and we need to agree from this body standpoint this morning. I want to go to Psalms 89. We need to stand in agreement for President Trump's continued favor and direction, that God surround him with godly men and women. We all need to agree, we cover that. We're going to cover the inauguration with the blood of Christ as we pray and agree. And we're also going to cover the continued confirmations of everyone that President Trump feels like God's directed him to pick to head up these departments. Amen. And as we do that, we've prayed this before. Y'all know it, but I'm just going to read it in the way I pray it, and we're just going to agree on it. That's all I knew to do this morning, for us to plead the blood over them and his family and everyone concerned. So you don't have to close. You can follow along in Psalms 89. It's going to start in verse 20 when I start that. But if you want to close your eyes as a prayer, if you want to leave, that doesn't matter right now. The deal is we're making a declaration, and we're agreeing on something on behalf of this nation as this body, and I believe there's probably other bodies this morning agree in the same form or fashion. Maybe not be the same prayer, but we're agreeing on the same things on behalf of what God's called us to do. So, Father God, we thank you this morning as we just lift up President Trump, Melania and their family, Vice President Vance and his family, Father, and all of our godly men and women in positions of governing authority and leadership in this nation. Lord, we lift all of our congressmen and senators up. But Lord, specifically right here, we're addressing our godly men and women along with President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. For Father, they are like your servant David. With your holy oil, Father God, we know that you have anointed them. And with your hand, you have established them. And with your arm, you continue to strengthen them. Lord, thank you that the enemy shall not outwit them, nor the son of wickedness will afflict them. Father, we thank you that you beat down their foes before their face and you plague those who hate them. Your faithfulness and mercy are with them. In your name, their horns exalted, and we know that you set their hand over the affairs of this nation, the nation of Israel, and in a sense, over the countries of this world. Because as the United States and Israel go, so goes the rest of the world. So, Father, as they cry out to you, as they call on you, Father, they know that you're the rock of their salvation. They know your voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. We ask you to surround them with favors, with a shield. We plead the blood of Jesus over each one of them. And thank you for your angels that are camped around about them as they fulfill the destiny that you've called them to on behalf of us as residents of this nation and as members of the body of Christ. So we thank you, Father, and praise you for them and what your hand is on them. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank y'all. I just think it was very important that we do that. Well, God told me to do that this morning too. So now, with that said, y'all turn back now to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to use a little bit of what we shared in tithes and offerings, but and this first few scriptures is just the introduction, okay? So I'm hoping that I can get to the meat of the word before and not just introduction this morning. And actually, I think I can go this through it pretty fast on this right here because we've talked about this quite a bit before. But God just really had me look up some things on it the other day, and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, sometimes it's more responsibility than we actually want. But I think that what we need to realize that we have been preparing for 4 years. We've been praying. We've been standing, and now the work has begun. We don't back off now. It's like we are yielding no ground to the devil. We're not in fact, Dennis, we're on the phone. Just things that I think we all think about. Is he says, Rusty, what's your opinion on the fires in California? And I said, well, there's a lot of ways that we as believers can look at that, you know, and you can think, well, you know, could be this, could be that, you know. And I told Kathy, I heard a man come on the other morning. I think he was one of the senators or congressmen in California, and he was one of the conservative ones. He was raised in a ranching, farming family, and I've been so praying for over 4 years for exposure, restitution, restoration. Hank Kuhneman's been talking about the exposure, and Dutch Sheets talking about the exposure, and I'm like, things are being exposed. God's not judging those people from the sense. God's judgment's taking place on behalf of this nation and the nation of Israel, but God's not issuing judgment on people that just, you know, God didn't start them fires. I don't believe that. You never convinced me of that. But he's tried to tell people, we've been trying to show people, you know, you've given yourselves over to idols and things, and we experience the consequences of our actions. And this man described it so well. He said, when they started with their global warming and greenhouse effect, he said they took the grazing land away from the farmers and ranchers. He said they no longer controlled the forests and the grasslands in the areas and didn't create any green areas in those areas there where that is. They just let it go, like, because it was good for the greenhouse stuff. He said they're experiencing they're being exposed for what they are. And all those people, this just gives me chills and thrills. Gavin Newsom's coming down like a rock to the bottom of the ocean. And I'm telling you what, Hank Kuhneman's naming every one of them the other day on one of his broadcasts. He is talking about every one of them that are coming down right now. They have stolen. Psalms 103 said, God executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You want to know who's being judged? The pharaohs. They're fixing to see themselves washed up on the shores, just like Pharaoh and the Egyptians did when God split the Red Sea. There's people coming down like a rock, and there's not one thing they can do about it. As long as we keep on keeping on what we've been doing the last 4 years and standing and praying and letting God. The battle's not ours, it's God's. So we roll it over on Him, and we be who He called us to be in the place God called us to be. And I'm going to tell you what. Y'all can hold that place, but let me read you something else. Y'all know this. I got to find it. I got to remember where it's at. I'll tell you where it's at when I get. Oh, it's in Timothy. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you want to turn and watch and look, set your eyes on it, we'll go back right over there. And listen, I'm not changing this. God's doing it as I go, okay? I got all kind of notes here, howdy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 1, it says, therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men and for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. We're going to lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty if we keep praying and interceding. If we do, first of all, if we make the supplications, prayers, and intercessions, I don't care what storms are going on around us. Me and you are going to lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. We fill our spot. We take our part. We be who God called us to be. And that's the kind of life we're going to lead in the midst of turmoil. And when people around us in our area of influence are experiencing all kinds of turmoil and confusion and frustration, they're going to say, how do you be like that? And we cannot be silent. Okay, Psalms 83. God's changing everything that we're talking about. In that sense, thank you, Lord, because it's His deal, not mine. Okay. Psalms 83. Verse 1, Psalms 83. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Okay. Now this is how I pray this. Y'all know that. We've prayed it before. Father, as you're not silent, it says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. And they take crafty counsel together against your people and against your sheltered ones. We can go on and read that, but I don't, y'all can look at that later. But the part is, God said, I'm not silent. You, the church, don't be silent. I'm not holding my peace. You don't hold your peace. I'm not being still. You don't be still. Praise the Lord. You know, we got a mandate to go and do, and we don't want just 4 years. We want about 16 or 20 of, you know, to where this nation's been transformed. And Jesus comes back, and we're out of here, and whatever goes from there, howdy, whatever goes, just, you know, howdy. But I'm telling you what, we can't be silent. We can't just stop now. We don't stop. I'm going to tell you what, in the morning when, after that inauguration, whatever time it is, and they sit down at that desk, and President Trump reverses all them stupid things that ignorant man tried to put in there. It wasn't him either. I don't believe it was him either, because his mind don't function no more than that chair's mind functions. He don't know, come here from Sikkim right now. He ain't got a clue, and his wife and son ought to be tarred and feathered for allowing them to be put in the positions he's in, because they have had no respect for their husband or their father, in my opinion. And I don't care if you agree with me or not, it's the way I see it. And so, but what I'm saying is, he's going to begin to reverse things tomorrow. We can't just sit on it and think, okay, man, it's going to be good. Now, no, we've got to take an action in where we are. And I think I'm going to get to part of my message that I wrote down. Okay. Where was I, Sharon? We were going to be in 1 Peter 2:9. Oh, yeah, okay, 1 Peter 2:9. Y'all know this. I can tell you without looking at it. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We should praise God that we've been called out of darkness. We've been called into the light of Jesus, into the light of who God wants us to be and how He wants to fulfill our calling, wants us to fulfill that. We're no longer in darkness no more. Now we can pull the veil down over our face. I can put that black hat over my eyes and not see nothing. I can stick my head in the sand. I can be silent. I can be still and I can hold my peace and I'm going to be in darkness. But if I do what Psalms 83 said, and I stand up in the area of influence that God's given me, and I be who I'm called to be, then I'm not going to be in darkness. I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to know where to go, when to be there, what to say. I'm just going to know it. I'm going to have confidence in knowing that as I spend time with my Father God, as I spend time in His Word, I'm going to know. I'm not going to be, we got to believe I know. We got to believe we know. God's given us everything that pertains unto life and God is through the knowledge of Him and through His Word. And so listen, look at this right here. We are a chosen generation. We are Jesus' followers as a priesthood that represents God and rules the world on His behalf. The body of Christ. Okay, for everybody out there that's listening, I know there's not one person here that looks at it this way. But there may be someone online watching. Maybe someone that watches this later thinks, oh, well, that ruling the world, that's left up to them people in politics. No, it's the church's responsibility. He just said, we're a chosen generation. He said, we are to rule the world on God's behalf. If you don't believe that, go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, unto us this day a child is born, unto us this day a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and of that government there shall be no end. Who are we imitators of? Jesus. We're imitators of the man that is the government. We are to be examples of that. The government that God created and designed the way that man should operate, we are representatives of that. We are to rule and reign on God's behalf on this nation. I'm just kind of excited. And I'm like, we're a royal priesthood. We each one are responsible for representing God to the world. That's our responsibility. Man, where we each one are, get excited and know God put you there. Thank him every day. Say, Lord, thank you for letting me be here. I don't like this guy. Help me love him, Lord. It's going to happen because I'm going to tell you what. How would you like to have been in the presence of Nancy Pelosi every day for the last 365 days? He's like, Lord, why do you have me here? Well, I'd like for you to change her. Well, I'd like to change her too, but probably not the way you want me to do it. No, come on. We got to look at it from God's perspective, from his standpoint. He's put us there. We're his representatives. We're to be imitators of him. How do I do this, Lord? How do I function in this? What is the deal? And sometimes it's very frustrating. It can be very frustrating if we allow it. But we're like, no. The battle's not mine. The battle's God's. I don't make the seed grow. I just plant the seed and I water it. God produces the growth. He changes the circumstances because we're willing and obedient to be where and who he called us to be. We are a royal priest. We're responsible for representing God to the world. Sometimes that means offering sacrifices such as honoring others, laying down individual preferences when we'd rather be somewhere else than where we are sometimes. Okay? It's like, okay, God, I can stay here forever. As I grit my teeth, I've said that before. I've gritted him and said, Lord, if this is where you want me, I'll stay right here forever. Oh, thinking, I sure hope he's not where he wants me forever. But you know, it's that deal we all know. When we get willing and obedient and we're like, I'll stay here. If this is it, I'll stay here. Because evidently, I'm not going to be here real long and you'll be coming back real soon and we'll be gone out of here because you wouldn't leave me right here for all the rest of the days if I was going to be here a really long time because you'd love me too much. And so I'm going to look at it that way, Sharon, and that may not be what God's saying, but I'm going to go there so I can stay where I'm supposed to be. Interceding for others, on behalf of others, making that intercession. Thank you, Renee. You know, but there's so many other, it's not just Renee's job, it's all of us' job, okay? We've got people in our area of influence that Renee ain't met yet. We need to be interceding on their behalf, as hard as it may be sometimes. Pray the prayer God would have you pray for them and not the one you desire to pray for them. And it's like, it's not our job to call fire down from heaven on them yet. I said yet. I don't know if we'll ever get to do that, but I doubt it. Be witnesses of the life of Christ. So I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm telling you what, as we do this right now, as we start to be who God called us to be in our area of influence, I'm going to tell you what, it's like we start believing, start knowing, I'm going to see people healed, set free, and delivered. Not, you're going to see, I think Corey, last week when he talked about Glenn in Australia and the dog, I'm catching bits and pieces of this last week because we had our daughter-in-law and our 10-month-old grandson there. So I got interrupted a lot while I was trying to watch church last Sunday. And so finally gave up. How do you just... But I remembered Corey talking about the dog and Glenn, and I've heard that story so many times. And it's like, listen, I've heard Glenn and Dennis talk about, oh my gosh, you're on the ground there and you're praying for this dog and you're thinking, God, don't let me down now. Do you know what I'm going to look... Hey, God don't care what we look like right there. He's just be obedient. You know what? It's not our job to heal them. It's not our job to grow them another leg or arm or put some teeth in their mouth or whatever God says to do. He, you know what? Have you noticed in the Word it says, and He laid His hands on them and they recovered? It tells us in Mark 16, as believers, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say we shall go and do all kinds of different things to make God heal them. It says lay your hands on them. So that's pretty simple. It's like, I don't got to pray some big awesome prayer. I don't got to do nothing but say, God said for me as a believer to lay my hands on you and be healed. That's just too simple, ain't it? That's like dipping in the Jordan 7 times. How could that help me, that guy said. He said, I don't go to a clean river, not the Jordan. And his servant talks him into going and dipping in the Jordan. I don't remember right where all that's. I just read it but the other day. But remember that. We make this way too. I got to do something. No. We don't have to do nothing. He said, you lay your hands on them. As a believer, you lay your hands on them. Say, it's real simple. In our area of influence, where we are, the people we're around. Say, hey, you know, it doesn't always have to be physical. Maybe they need an emotional or just whatever the healing may be. Maybe it's in their finances. Maybe it's in a relationship that they're just having issues and you notice it and you say, could I just pray for you? Father, thank you. You served me to lay my hands on them, they'd recover. So whatever they need recovery in, thank you, they've recovered. And that, you know, we don't got to do nothing. We don't have to make it elaborate. God's just saying, just go love on them. Just be obedient. We're to be representatives of Jesus. Worship God. We're going to have a really hard time getting to the other part of this. Okay, so we're a holy nation called out, set apart, God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if we don't proclaim them, He said, proclaim the praises of how I called you out of darkness into this light. So when people are seeing that, like, we're not frustrated, we're not anxious, we're not letting it get to us, we know God's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, and we're just being diligent with it, and we're just going on, and we're sitting in our mind and saying, I believe, I know. We'd be like Dennis. He said, we remind God, your covenant says that if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Your covenant says if I'll pray for this one or pray for that one, then this is what will happen. That's what your covenant. We're in covenant, God. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's our part. We just be who God called us to be. And hey, I'm going to tell you what. If you don't come, you come. Thank you so much, Father. I thank you for the healing. I believe there's healings taking place. As we minister the word, as we're just being obedient, healings are taking place, whether it be spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever. Things are taking place. Things are taking place in your finances right now because you gave this morning. Somebody in here, there was a need, and I'm going to tell you what. You watch what happens this week. Whoa. And please come back and tell us because it's going to be good. It's going to be gooder than you ever seen. And you're going to love every minute of it. And you need to share it because you know what? We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. It's not what we do. All we got to do is be obedient and willing. We eat the good of the land. Okay. Now back to 2 Peter, where I talked this early on. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is that where we're at? We were in 1 Peter. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. We talked about this during tithes and all, you know, about being diligent to make our call and election sure, right? Isn't that where it was? 2 Peter chapter 1. Yeah. He said, you know, 2 Peter 1, he said, be diligent to make our call and election sure. Y'all see that right there? To be diligent is to zealously seek for something with all of one's heart, strength, and mind, to be persistent, to be actively engaged, to be occupied with it. And so when we're diligent, as it says in verse 5, for this reason, giving all diligence. And then we go down to verse 10, therefore, brother, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. When we're being diligent, We are consumed with something. We're seeking that with all of our heart, soul, minds, and strength. So I'm seeking to be diligent of knowing who I am in Christ, what He's called me to do, and in my area of influence, where He's placed me. It's like I'm going to zealously seek to get a hold of, to be a part of people's lives in a manner that's honoring people and honoring God. And what we're doing is, by doing that, we're proclaiming the praises that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And they're seeing, and then they're being delivered, and then they're proclaiming praises, and then they're going into a bigger area of influence, okay? It just keeps going. Randy Weaver's got a great message on how long it would take to win the world if every believer won one person a day to Christ. It's really cool. It doesn't take very long. Okay, so be diligent. To make right there, and that's zealously seeking for something with all of our heart, soul, strength, persistent. To make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And an entrance or an open door will be supplied unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, God's going to open, if we're diligent, if we're being and going and submitting ourselves unto God. Because when we submit ourselves unto God and we resist the devil flees. He gets out of the way. God opens the door and we have an opportunity. What more could we ask for? Don't be silent. Don't hold our peace and don't be still. I'm going to tell you what. There's an awakening taking place in this nation. There's fiction being awakening taking place in Hollywood. Did you see God appointed Mel Gibson and all those for the Hollywood? God appointed through President Trump. God appointed them. He gave President Trump these men's names and said, these are the ones that we need out there because you think back on some of them, it's going to be cool to watch the people, Dennis is sharing with me yesterday. Kid Rock is telling somebody he's witnessing to, sharing with, he's asking about, do you know Jesus? Well, I know who he is. He said, well, do you know him? And it's one of them guys up there high in one of them deals, and he said, well, do you want to know him? He said, man, it's great. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and you're doing, he said, I'm telling you, it's good. And Dennis said, I don't know much about Kid Rock, Rusty, but said he's being very vocal. And he said, I probably don't like his music, but he said, I sure like the way he's talking about Jesus. Amen. We're seeing people, and it's like, I think, gee whiz, I kind of thought, back in the day, we were excited about some things sharing, but I'm going to tell you, so we're going to see like we've never seen before this year. And they can't, there's no way, give God praise. We got to thank Him for it, but God's saying, keep it up. Don't be silent. Don't be still. Don't hold your peace. Don't back down. There ain't no time. We ain't got time to wait. We're in a war. The war's not over. It's going to be one battle after another because the enemy's not going to lay down and take this just like, oh, gee, I'll just give up. No, it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. So, okay, now y'all can turn to Isaiah chapter 54. And we're going to get to the message now. I think, fortunately, I really have good notes. We're coming up on the minister's conference, and I jokingly, every year at the minister's conference, I say, I really would like to call Trey Johnson. When God gives me the word that He's given me that I'm supposed to share, I would really like to call Trey and say, now here's what God's told me to share. Now would you please put my notes together? Because there can't nobody detail things like Trey Johnson can. It's just, we're at a team roping at Stephenville. Well, we were at a barrel race and Trey was ministering down the road. A team roping, howdy. So we run down to Wisconsin to Trey that morning before the barrel race starts. And we're at a team roping at the Lone Star Arena, and Trey's got ushers up there handing out pages of notes to every person that comes in. I'm like, nobody does that there. Trey does. I called him on the way home or texted him. I said, hey, man, I got to preach such and such next week. I said, these really fit. He said, use them. I'm like, praise God. I just had to read them and study those. Betsy, I didn't have to go hunt everything that day. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 54. One verse, but there's a whole lot in this verse. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Where there ain't been no law, there'll be law. Where things have been in turmoil, there'll be peace. But that's not where I'm going. I want to explain and just share the definitions, how those, I felt like with the Lord. So enlarge, number one, enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent. Okay, so listen, guys, this applies to us as a nation, as communities, as a church, as families. Don't just put it to one particular deal. This covers the whole enchilada, okay? It's over everything. For us to enlarge, he says to make bigger. I don't know how that applies to everybody's family. May not mean more children. But make bigger is the influence that we have where we're at in our families, in the people God's associated our families with. Make bigger. Become more extensive. This church, we will become bigger. We will become more extensive. We will dream bigger. He said, dream bigger, plan bigger. You can't, if we dream bigger, we got to plan bigger. Okay? Be a bigger influence. All those things, God said, enlarge the place of our tent. And tent, as a biblical symbol of God's kingdom. We're to make bigger God's kingdom in our lives, in our church, in our communities. As he said, we are to rule on behalf of God on the earth. So as we begin to be doers of this right here, where we're at, in our communities, our families, starts in our families. God was a family man first. He started with the family, and then it went to the community, and it grew from there. Okay? And then it went to the church. You know, it's family comes first in church, and then we as a church in our communities, we have an effect. We have jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction as believers, as children of the Most High God, who are supposed to be ruling on God's behalf. He has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Therefore, he has given us jurisdiction in our area of influence. As we take that, as we run with it, as we go, we fulfill the call God's got on our life. Tent, God's kingdom. It's a symbol of God's kingdom. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. So curtains and dwellings, there was kind of a combination thing, but like curtains, the first thing I find is truths of faith. So we got to speak truth from a faith standpoint. Even though in our area of jurisdiction and our area of influence, sometimes we're going to have to speak it on the truth on faith because we're not seeing something take place at the moment, as we've been doing for the last 4 years. But now it's taking place, and the church has got to step up and rule and reign and fill the destiny that we called us to. So I was going to say earlier, for those people that believe the church is not involved in politics or pastors that don't want to preach it from the pulpit, you need to get straightened out and get on the program, or you're going to get left behind. Okay, so it includes enlarging one's territory, welcoming more people into the community and not being limited by boundaries. Don't put no boundaries on what God has to do. You know, we have a tendency to think, well, this is as far as I can go. I can't stretch out no more. God's saying stretch out. Now, I want you to enlarge your territory. I want you to, you know, as you know, listen. For every one of us, that could apply in different situations and circumstances, but it's time for us to not be silent, not be still, not hold our peace. God will do the enlarging. If we'll just make ourselves available and we'll be like Peter and step out of the boat, if we'll just like, okay, I'm going to go for it. I don't have a clue what to do, God, but I'm going to make a step, and then he'll begin to direct our steps. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he's saying, look, you just step out here. I'll direct you. I'll hold you. Just like he did Peter. He said, if you'll step out, I'll catch you. Listen, I'm not going to tell you. Don't make me nervous. Think about it. You know, I mean, we woke up one morning about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and God told us, y'all need to make a move this morning. I'm like, I don't know about that. But we did, and God's honoring it. And we're excited, you know. And listen, I got a feeling that that's just the first for the next. We got some things going on, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting, and we're going to have renewed energy. And for those of y'all that are like me, 70 plus, man, I will go for some renewed energy some days, for sure. You know, it's like, but yeah, okay. Dwellings, expand your space, make room for more people or blessings. Grow, embrace new opportunities. Man, I want to tell you what when we see the new opportunity, we do not need to be discouraged. We need to embrace it. Again, we can say, Lord, I ain't got a clue. He said, that's okay. I don't need you to have a clue. I just need you to be willing. And when we get willing and obedient, then expansion takes place. It's just, man, listen, y'all have no idea. I mean, I consider me and Kathy very fortunate to have been associated with so many different ministries over the last. We went to Odessa. Kathy run the Slack the other day. And 45 years ago, New Year's Eve, I got saved there in Glen. And I was sitting in the building, looking around. I'd spent time with Glen up in the grandstands, Howdy, and just a cool deal. But 45 years ago, I'm so thankful for the ministries and the people that we've been involved with over the last 45 years. And a lot of them, and every one of them, I believe, were divine connections. Some of them were more pleasurable than others. But every one of them was a learning experience, and to see where, you know, and to see how we've all grown over the years, it's so much fun, you know. But at the time, it was not always fun, Roger. Sometimes it was like, I'm going to tell you what, God, it's kind of like what Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. It's kind of, you know, I mean, didn't he? When he's like, okay, I'm going to go fishing. I'm tired of waiting on him. I'm in that boat. I'm in the same situation. I wasn't in the boat because I don't really care for the water. I like dry land. But I've been in those situations to where I'm like, look, I'll just go back to doing this. And Crystal, being the sweet person she is sometimes, well, you can just go back, but it ain't God's will. I'm like, shut up. You know? Kathy learned how to tell me the same thing. I think she learned it from Crystal, Sharon, sometimes. But thank goodness they didn't back down. Believe me, they weren't silent. They weren't, and they didn't hold their peace. You know what? When you aggravate someone, you make them think about the situation and circumstance. They think about what you said for days, and if it's what God told you to say, that's a good thing. If it's what you and me wanted to say, sometimes it's not a good thing. But you know, when somebody says something to me that really ticks me off, it's hard to get that out of your mind. You want revenge. Maybe y'all don't, but I'm just kind of that kind of person. I mean, I want vengeance. But if it's a good thing and it's from God, that vengeance is going to turn into deliverance for that person. You know, it goes from them wanting revenge on you for something to God delivering them because we were willing and obedient to not be silent. Okay, I got to hurry. Okay. Fifth deal was do not spare. You know, it's in that verse, it says, do not spare. Don't back down. Do not spare. Don't hold nothing back. God said, go for it, invest it, do it. The next one was lengthen your cords. And to lengthen your cords was to make room for growth. Strengthen your faith. Make the tent larger and stronger. Embrace God's plan. And strengthen your stakes is drive our stakes deeper into the ground. So those two go, we got to drive those stakes deeper into the ground to make room for growth. We started, you know, Corey visioned and started last year with the building and the things that are going to take place. Listen, you know, some people would say, well, you don't need all, yeah, we do need all of it. Because we've strengthened the stakes, we're lengthening the cords, the vision's expanding, and we're fixing to see, oh, some of y'all that haven't been involved, you're fixing to be busy. And it's going to be so much fun. You know what? It's so much fun to watch people grow and be delivered in the Lord. And sometimes in our selfishness, we think, well, I need a little time for myself. And you know what? Real revitalization comes from ministering to others. There's times to get off, and, you know, Jesus went to the mountain, prayed, got off by himself. There's times, but God will direct those steps. You seek God on that, okay? We need to embrace God's plans and act boldly, you know, and put your eyes on Acts chapter 5 right quick, and then we're going to turn back over to Deuteronomy for something, and we'll close. Acts 5, I think it's verse 29. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders will be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." I thank the Lord every day that he's granted us boldness to speak his word. And he's granted it to us. Now, whether we accept it or receive it, it's up to us. But if we'll step out boldly, because, again, the battle's not ours, it's God's. It's knowing that when I step out of the boat, Jesus' hand's right there saying, "Come on, let's go." And so we get to do that. And so I encourage you to be bold. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to close with this right here. I go back to some things here. I believe that the reason our nation has been through the turmoil we've been through and the things have happened that, you know, wasn't God's plan. I think we've let a lot of stuff happen. I think we got away from some things that God never intended us. Well, I know he didn't intend us to get away from, because he told the Israelites back here, he said, "This is what you got to do to be who I called you to be. It's what you have to do. You'll rule your nation. You'll rule your communities. You'll rule your families. You will rule and reign for me on this earth the way I want you to, if you be doers of the word." Corey talked about last night. Listen, what are we saying? What are we, you know, what's coming out of our mouths? You know, is everything, think about it this way. Do you want everything to come to pass that comes out of your mouth concerning yourself, your children, your finances, your health, your vehicle, your horse, your goat, your dog? Do you want those things to come to pass? When you speak it, stop. This week, Lord, I thank you. Every person in here this week, when we say something, you'll ask us if that's the desire we have when it comes out of our mouth. And if it's not the desire, we need to repent real fast and say, "Lord, oh, I bind that up in the name of Jesus. Here's what I really desire, Lord." And Satan, I bind you. I know that what I spoke, I do not receive that. I bind it. I render it harmless and ineffective against me in the name of Jesus. Mouth, straighten up. You know, them bull riders hit their mouth, hit their face, and bear back. You know, well, maybe we ought to do that every now and then. Don't say that. You know, I got slapped by my daddy a long time ago. You know, that wasn't illegal back in my day. If you could, you better watch what you said. So, okay, right here. This is where I think this is something that we need to do. And we're starting verse 4, chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down. When you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You know, from when I read that right there, that means that to me, that is, there's never a moment of the day or night that the Word of God should not be on my lips. And as I begin to, you know, and I will say, sometimes there's things come out of my mouth that's not the Word of God, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm not proud of them sometimes. You know, you slip, okay? Listen, don't get under condemnation. Just repent and go on, you know. But the point being is our thoughts should get to a point to where when I get up of the morning, I'm thinking the Word. When I go to bed at night, I'm thinking the Word. When I wake up during the night, I'm thinking the Word. And, you know, he said, talk of them. Put them where it's never out of sight. It's never out of mind. As we begin to do that, the Word of God chokes out that's not of God. That which God has not planted shall be dissolved and rooted out of my body in the name of Jesus. The word of God dissolves and roots out. That those desires and things that are not of God, they will be dissolved and rooted out as we give the word first place in our life. As we think about, is this what I desire? When I speak the word. So with that said, I'm excited for, you know, I'm really excited for tomorrow, especially whatever time he starts writing all them things. That's going to be cool. You know, can't you just see some of them, Betsy? They're over there going, yeah, you're going to be beating the floor, beating their head on the floor, be crying and whining. That's going to be so cool. I wish I could have a picture of it. But the cool part is the victory in Jesus that's taking place in our nation, the awakening, because all that stuff, other stuff, it's going to look trivial here in 12 to 18 months. They ain't giving up, and they ain't backing down. But when we're not giving up, we're not backing down, and we're yielding no ground to the devil. And we're going to be all that God calls to be. We're going to rule and reign our influence, and we're going to speak the word and live the word and talk the word, and we're going to watch our schools, our government come back to Jesus. Amen. If there's anybody here this morning, you know, that's never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. We never close the service without that. You know, the first step in really knowing God is knowing that Jesus, God sent his only begotten Son to die for us that we might have eternal life. And it tells us in Romans 10:9-10 that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, and confess with our mouth as he's Lord, and that God's raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so if can't make you get saved if you don't know Jesus, but, you know, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's either in the presence of God or out of the presence of God. God don't send nobody to hell. You know, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And we need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're wondering, what are these guys talking about? I'm going to tell you what. If you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you do that this morning, I believe when you ask Jesus the Lord of your life, the eyes of your understanding will be open to truths that you're going to like, wow, praise the Lord. And healings, listen, God's a good God. We sang about it this morning. You know, he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. And he had days planned for you. Like no other. So if that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to ask you to we're going to pray a prayer and just ask you, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life and that's your desire this morning, we're all of us in here are going to pray it with you. Just pray it with us and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Say, Father God, I thank you this morning that you're a giver, that you gave Jesus. You ask him to come to live a life free of sin, to experience the pain and suffering he experienced, to go to the cross for me, and then, Lord, you raised him from the dead just for me so that I could spend eternity with you, forgiven, cleansed from all sin. So, Father, I ask Jesus right now to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you, Lord. I thank you for cleansing me from all sin and all unrighteousness. And this is my God day. I'm now coming into the realization and the fullness of my life in you. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, before we say amen. If that was you and you asked Jesus into your heart today, I'm going to count three. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. I'm going to get a Bible to you. I won't embarrass you. And we just want to make sure we get a Bible to you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Anybody this morning? Right here? We got anyone else? Thank you. Hand up high. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Am I missing anybody? Okay, everybody say amen. Amen. 2, 4. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, we thank you for new salvations this morning, new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I bind every principality and power that would come against them this next week in the name of Jesus. As Father, you open their eyes, their understanding, as you set them free. And they just, oh, Lord, thank you that they just see your grace and mercy and love. We give you the praise for it. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all so much.